All right, the Lord is good. Okay, yeah, we've been talking about the matter of fear. And I said, okay, we'll conclude that one today with praying. And things happen all the time. I just want to encourage Christians, okay? This is how we are supposed to respond to things that are happening in life. Please don't ever forget this. I'll try not to preach today. We're all going to stand up and we're going to begin to pray. Anytime things happen in life, don't forget what I said. We are engaged in a battle of what? Words. That's what life is about. Don't forget the weapon of our warfare when Paul was speaking the book of Ephesians. We understand that there's a shield of faith with which we quench the fiery darts of the devil. And let me explain it again. When he used the word fiery or fire-tipped arrows, what he was saying is that this is how life is. There are arrows that are tipped with fire, all right? There are different things arrows did under the old-time warfare. One of them was to shoot an arrow through somebody, you know, when you are fighting, all right? You want to injure your opponent. So you shoot an arrow. So you expect that to pierce his skin. But there's another kind of thing that arrows were used to do, and that was to shoot fire very long distances. Even till now, in this modern day warfare, we still have our own way of shooting fire. Americans draw what they call napalm, all right, set a whole place on fire. Now, so then what the Roman soldier would do was to take an arrow, put something that's flammable, dip something inside it, and put it at the tip of the arrow. They put fire on it and then shoot a very from a very long distance. They can set a town on fire, set a building on fire, all right, because when you have thousands of arrows raining down with fire, all right, even though the soldiers haven't come, the heart of the people around there will melt. Things will start burning. That's part of it. So what the devil tries to do is to set our hearts on fire. And that fire is what we call fear. Are you getting my point? And we explain, let me not preach that message again, that fear is disabling. Fear cripples. Therefore, we must tackle it. We must tackle it. We must ensure that you are not disabled by fear. And we read from, I think that was the Revelation chapter 21, that when God was going to judge, first on the list, he said, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, you see, and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and all of that. Now, the point is that you see, first of all, he put what? The fearful. The idea, let me say to us again, is that a man who is fearful cannot fulfill the purpose and the plan of God for his life. That's the concept behind it. Is that okay? Therefore, we must tackle fear. And we said there are two things there are a number of things we use to tackle fear. Number one, of course, most important in all of that, it's a matter of prayer. Is that okay? It's a matter of what? Prayer. Now, number one, we must recognize the praise of God. And remember, we read from that Philippians chapter 4, when it said, don't be afraid. I'm putting my own words now. It said, be careful for nothing. Said, don't be afraid of anything, but with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I explained the meaning of the word prayer, did I not, last time? That emphasis, the word prayer, is talking about understanding and recognizing the might of God. Which, if you use the Old Testament words, you see, we are talking about the praise of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. That kind of thing. We're talking about the praise of God. Who delivered you? Maybe like you see when he was talking about, give thanks to the Lord for his good, and his mercies endure forever. He started itemizing the things that God did for the children of Israel in the past. When we recognize that God is the one that is in charge, all right? Those are the things we call prayer. So when we are approaching, that is, prayer in that context of Philippians chapter 4. When we are approaching the matter of prayer, we come knowing that he's the God that has charge of everything. And therefore, we don't ever allow life to scare us, but we allow life to push us to prayer. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So if there are issues, that's what we ended with last time, and I want us to just continue from there, praying today. If there are issues, we take them to God in prayer and call God by his proper name over that situation. Don't forget that thing. When God said to Moses, go and tell them, Moses said, who am I talking to? Who's sending me? He said, I am. That's what my name is. And like the Red Prince explained to us, he said, when you get there, tell them that he is sent to you. What does that mean? God has a name by which you describe him. That's what it means. All right? I am what? It depends on the situation on ground. All right? If Pharaoh is behind you, is that okay? And the Red Sea is in front, then he becomes the God. He is the God that divides the Red Sea. That is his name at that point in time. When you get to the other side and there's no food, he becomes what? He is the God that rains manna from heaven. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you want to enter into the promised land and there are giants in the land, he becomes the God that strengthens your hands to tackle giants. That's so he is. He's always, there's something that he is all the time. All right? That's just how God is. He said that, I will say of the Lord. Very important. I will say of the Lord. Don't forget that thing. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, and in him I trust. That is, you must say something about God. You see, you know, people go around all the time saying that, you know, I've seen it before. This one in school, we had a tape, the 12 names of God. Jehovah Sikenu, Jehovah Susu Gamuchi. That's not, there's not, Susu Gamuchi is a medical word, all right? All kinds of names that we used to use to describe God. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah this. Those were the names that the children of Israel experienced. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm saying? There's Jehovah, the computer programmer. They did not know about it that time. So there are no, there's no 12 names of God. That's limiting him terribly. All right? That's limiting him terribly. In each situation, there is a name that he bears. Most importantly, he's a God of gods. Do you get what I'm saying? He's a Lord of lords. He's a Lord of every problem. He's a God of everything. There's nothing that is beyond him. He said, I am God. I'm God, the God of all flesh. I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. There is nothing too difficult for me. And I went, the angel got to Mary and told Mary of the great things that are going to happen. And Mary looked, was it Mary that said that? Yes, okay. Went to Mary and went to John. When he got to John, John is the one I want to talk about. John said, angel, you smoke, you know, that kind of thing. And the angel got angry. You know, he was really angry. He said, let me say something to you. My name is Gabriel. I stand in the presence. Are you getting my point? That is, you know where I'm coming from. People come from that place. They just tap a bit of anointing. And you're not saying their line. That's even if God did not say it and I said it, it is still happening. I don't know whether I got what I'm trying to say there. Now, for the fact that I come from the presence of God, how can you tell me I'm lying? All right, give me your tongue. I pocket that one. The thing has finally happened. Are you getting the one I'm going to make? All right? So we understand that with him, there's nothing that is impossible. And he said to Mary, no word of God shall be void of power. He said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's how most scriptures render it. But I've read analysis of it. He said, literally what he said is this, that there's no word of God shall be void of power. That once God has said it, all right, it must happen. What am I saying? I'm just trying to describe the might of God again. That's what we are doing. So when we are praying, that's what we start with. We call God, all right, by his proper name in the midst of our situation. We read the story of Ezekiah from Isaiah 37. All right, now you see the way he handled the matter. And when you go to God sincerely, listen, remember what I said last time? That there's what I call the second round phenomenon. Was it last time I said it? Yes, second round. If life tries to put, in fact, there's a scripture I was reading just now, which when I saw it, I said, wow, this is so true. All right, I think somewhere in the book of Psalms, let me see whether I can quickly get it. I was reading it just not too long ago. What it was saying, in effect, is that when I begin to fear, it's simple. What I simply do is that I allow my fear to drive me to the presence of God, and I go to pray. That's what I'm going to explain. So that if life tries to scare us, there's nothing wrong with being scared the first time, all right? The point is that what do I do as a result of the fear that life is trying to present to me? And that's what we're discussing, all right? If you read, today, we're going to pray about that now. Yesterday, I was very angry. I was very, very angry. You know, there are things that just annoy you, and you... Even God will be happy he didn't give you the power to kill people like this. Otherwise, you just kill people on the spot. All right? Yesterday, I read in the papers about the thieves in Aba. I don't know how many of you read about it. That killed those MTN workers. It was very annoying. And I told myself today, I'm going to pray about it. I will. God, you won't see the kind of wickedness with which I will pray today. I won't pray publicly so that you won't become wicked. No, I was very angry. Right? I was really angry. Kidnap a pastor's wife in Benin, then the one in Aba just went. They didn't offend you, nothing. You want to collect their car keys. Say, sorry, the driver is not around. And really, the driver wasn't there. And you just shot six people for nothing. That get my point. You're not trying to steal their money or anything. You're not trying to kidnap them. You just shot six adults. It's very annoying. In fact, one of my friends, all right, he called from Sokoto this evening. He said the same thing that I said. He said, this has to stop. Are you getting my point? I mean, there's too much violence in this land. This has to stop. The kind of prayer I pray for Abba, if you in Abia State, if you live there, better behave yourself very well. No, I'm serious. It has to stop. It cannot continue. It's annoying. It's very annoying. The people went to maintain a base station. Do you get my point? You know what they call base station? All these masts where your signals get picked up and they sent from. You want to collect their vehicle. Where your key? The driver went out to go and pee. It was not a lie. All right, so when you see things like that, I read it last night. I was very, 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 I was very angry. Those kind of things. Of course,
There are different ways to react. Let's give an example. There are those who just say, this country is very, very bad. We have to run away. No. Man, I vex, and I keep on saying it. No thief, no criminal is driving me away from my inheritance. Are you getting my point? Listen, before the barber will mistakenly cut me with blade, God will have killed 1,000 of them. Did you hear what I said? I'm more precious than every criminal in this country. That is for barber to mistakenly injure me. It's a more terrible thing in the eyes of God than for one criminal, one kidnapper to die. I don't know whether I get my point. The few red blood cells that will ooze out, that the barber didn't hold his blade well, or not, they don't even use blade. Friction, all right? You go friction with rough edge. It's a more wicked thing. You must understand that my life is precious. That's what the Bible says. Precious in the sight of God, that the lives of his saints. That is precious. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? Precious. Have you ever bought something brand new and your friend just said, I see your shoe, just kicking like this? I'm watching the worry yourself. Shoe where I just bought yesterday. Precious is the shoe you just bought. How much more the life of the saints? My life is more precious than all the criminals in Nigeria put together. Only the ones who want to repent on time. Because me, I have repented. So, do you get what I'm saying? So, we can't be judging whether you are potential. Me, I'm reality. Yes, it's true. Let's not deceive ourselves. God is angry against the wicked. That's what the Bible says. He's angry morning, afternoon, and night. Better repent. He's just holding himself back. So, if you can't annoy me, I can't tell God. God will just punish. And God, may you punish all those people in Jesus' name. And normally when I pray that prayer, the revelation has given me. From the time you committed the crime to the time I started praying, you should have repented. If you haven't repented by then, what am I saying? When you see things like that, life wants to scare you. Do you get my point? But what do we do? David said like that, when my heart begins to fear, I gently draw to the presence of God, I begin to pray. Is that okay? Let me say another thing to us, because we prayed this kind of prayer before. Prayer, this is the way it is, all right? It's not the ones. How many people ate today? If you ate food, you are not fasting, right? So, if you're fasting, put down your hand. But if you ate food today, please put up your hand, please. Any kind, whether it's granola or fried rice with chicken. Almost everybody here, okay, please. If you ate yesterday, please put up your hand again. Please, if you ate 2 days ago, please put up your hand. Wait. These people, they eat every day. Can you see them eating every day? Or if you plan to eat tomorrow, put up your hand. Put down your hand. So you ate last year. Next year, you still be eating. See, I know science, all right, because of my profession. You know, you've eaten plenty now. You know, those used to happen on campus. You will see, maybe you go for a party, one mound of food like this. You know, student. You'll be hoping that, God, why can't I just eat this food? Some for my stomach, put some in my chest, left leg, right leg, so that I won't have to spend my money for the next 1 week. I'll be digesting this one bit by bit. But when you chop, load up well, say, till tomorrow, by next morning, the kind of hunger that will wake you up, you will say, where did all the food you ate yesterday? Where did they go? No matter how well nourished you are today, if you don't continue eating, after a while, your white blood cells that fight bacteria, they'll try to get up and no energy. Do you get my point? That's the way it is with the word of God and prayer. Do you understand the logic? That's the way it is. You speak words against situations today. If they arise from a distance tomorrow, the same words. Do you get what I'm saying? In fact, when Jesus taught disciples to pray, you know when they came to Jesus once and said, teach us to pray. What they were asking for, all right, was simple. Give us what to say in prayer. It wasn't like, what are the principles of prayer? The Lord said, today I'm going to teach you about the prayer of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Then next day comes to it, it's prayer of petition. No, that was not the issue. It's teach us to pray. Give us what to say in prayer. That's what they were saying. That's what they were saying. The idea is that once you've heard it, you will now take it and be using it every day. That's what happens. So each season, this is how it is, God gives you a word. So, you know, with God, you don't have to be, let me use the word, dynamic. So yesterday when I was praying, I was speaking, these are the words I spoke against evil. Let me look for another word. Listen, for that season, that's the potent one. I hope you're getting my point. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the way the word of God works. You use it now, That's why people want to get tired. No, we talked about this before. Say men ought always to pray and not to faint or get tired or lose heart. What does that tell you? It means that the tendency is what? To lose heart. That's why Jesus said it. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. The reason is because things will make it look like you should lose heart. You are praying for your state, you are praying for the country, then you hear news like the one we were just talking about a while ago. It wants to discourage you. This is what I'm saying. We take the same prayer again, and then we do what? We use them. Just the same way we pray every day, we eat every day. Listen, spiritual things are very dynamic. What I mean is this. You use it now, it can finish. I don't know what I'm saying. What I mean is that let me explain it. The Bible makes it clear that the prayer of the saints, they are added into a bowl. You understand? All right? Now, that tells you that spiritual things have measure. And if something has measures, all right, it's likely to also have a lifespan extent. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. That's one thing about this creation. Things tend to have limits. That's why it's only the blood of Jesus, all right? It's the only Jesus that entered once and for all. But you notice something about him? The Bible says he ever lives to do what? Make intercession. He didn't just pray one prayer and then he ended it there. As far as God is concerned, the blood of Jesus is constantly washing. He didn't just wash once and that's the end of it. He entered once and for all into the holiest of all. He did not come out. He just entered in there and stayed. And the blood of Jesus is constantly, are you getting my point? Washing. That's the way it is. So he ever lives to make intercession. The Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. That is, if he stops speaking, things will collapse. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So that's what I'm trying to bring out there. So when you utter a word today, maybe the dose never reach. Do you follow my point? So when you see things that appear as if working, don't mind, it's working. The anointing has measures. You know how he proved it? Say one man came blind and said, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see. Say Jesus put a hand on him and said, what do you see? Say, I see men as trees. Say Jesus said, okay, I gave him about 15 microcuries of radiation energy and he is now seeing men as trees. That means that he needs to get like 100 to see men clearly. So Jesus now delivered the extra dose. So he used that one to prove that anointing has measures. It was very funny. But I believe him actually. But his explanation was very funny. So when Jesus put a dose of anointing on the guy's eyes, the amount of recovery the man achieved, that Jesus used that one to plot the extra dose that he needed. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. Why am I saying all of these things? I just want to emphasize a point. All right? We have prayed a prayer last year. All right? And we are still seeing things that want to make it appear to us like God hasn't heard us. We are not going to fall for it. We are not going to be discouraged. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Are you getting my point? And we said the reason why he said that is that there's a tendency to lose heart in the face of what appears like delayed requests to your prayer. And I said the same way you eat every day. And you don't say that, I ate yesterday, why should I eat again today? All right? You need your energy to fight in life. When I say fight, not necessarily box people, but your cells need it to fight infections. Your tissues need that energy, all right, to heal. They get it from only one place, and that's from the food that you eat. That's why you don't get tired of eating. Are you getting my point? All right. It says, so shall my word be, that does not depart until it has accomplished. So each word has an accomplishment. Do you understand? Something to be fulfilled. And when it has accomplished, then it can now depart. I don't know whether you get what I explain. So what we do is we keep on pumping the word out there. Don't get tired of praying for the country. Don't get tired. Let some wicked souls gang up and gang up with serious ganging. We won't get tired. What they are trying to do, you know, I've told you before, life is a war of, you know they call it a war of attrition. That's how they used to do those days. They build a siege around the city. They want people to get tired. That's what they used to do. Build a siege around the city. You know what it means? No food is entering. So when you guys can't go to your farms, you can't go and buy. After a while, hunger and thirst will force all of you to surrender. And that's the way life is. The devil wants us to get tired. And unfortunately, he's lying. He uses lies because he can't cut off our food. He can't cut off our water. But, you know, like, is it Rabshakeh, Sennacherib, when they ganged up against Hezekiah, they were using words to weaken the hearts of the people. And that's what life is trying to do to us, to weaken us. And once we become fearful, then we depart away from obedience to the will of God. That's why we fight. Do you get my point? And our weapon of warfare is our prayers, our words, the promises of God, recognition of the power of God in our lives. Please, I hope you've gotten the point. All right, just trying to remind us. Now, what we're going to do today, let's rise to our feet. We are going to pray. Don't forget what we said last time. Let's start with the matter of Isaiah. Ezekiah, the way Ezekiah handled matters. First of all, let's give the Lord thanks. It's very important. Let's just give the Lord thanks. All right? Use your own words, your own language, your own expression. Just begin to worship God that He has counted you worthy. I mean, it's a privilege. Believe me, it is. That we can approach unto His throne. Let's begin to worship Him. Speak in your own language, speak in your own words, speak in your own tongue, speak in other tongues, speak whichever way you wish to. Just give the Lord thanks. Acknowledge Him for the privilege. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What that means is that I have counted you worthy to hand power over to, and because of you and through you, I will do things on this earth. Very important. Because of you and through you, I will do things on this earth. It's very important. Let's thank God for forgiveness of sins. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins. Because without that, you cannot stand here and pray. Thank Him, because in Christ Jesus, you have received the power to be called sons of God. And that's the reason why you can talk. That's the reason why you can stand before Him and pray. So acknowledge and say, Father, I thank you. Thank Him because He has forgiven your sins. It's important you give Him thanks because He has forgiven your sins. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Father, we give you thanks for forgiveness of sins. He said, He pardoned all your iniquities. It's very important. For the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Say, Lord, I thank you for the righteousness that I have attained in Christ Jesus. Declare your faith. Say, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because that's the basis upon which you became righteous. Restate that affirmation again, that confession. Say, Lord, indeed I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Declare, say, Lord, indeed I believe that He died. Thank Him. Say, He died for my sins. I acknowledge it. That He rose again on the third day, it was because of me. I wanted to make those declarations. Say, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Because that's the basis upon which we are saved. Is the basis upon which we are declared righteous. Without righteousness, we cannot stand here. Without righteousness, we cannot stand in His presence and speak. Say, Lord, I thank you because of righteousness that I have in Christ Jesus. I want you to restate that. Say, Lord. Say, Lord, you have forgiven my sins because of my faith that I have in Christ Jesus. Say, Lord, I believe that He is the Son of God. I believe He died, Lord, for my sin. I believe that He rose again because I have been justified. Say, Lord, I thank you because you have healed all my diseases. Say, Lord, I thank you because you redeemed my life from the pit. Say, Lord, I thank you because you crown me with loving kindness and with compassion. Say, Lord, I thank you because you are satisfying my mouth with good things and my youth is renewed like that of an eagle. Hallelujah. Amen. My sister. Hallelujah. I want to read one psalm from Psalm 16. Like I said, we are praying against fear. We'll pray for this country, right? But let's just handle some things. Because it's very important, all right? He said in Psalm 16, verse 8, he said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He said, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Please note verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I want us to declare, because you see, let me tell you one of the things. Psalms are very good, all right? This is the way I read it, all right? Whatever it is that David is saying, all right, I say the same thing again. Are you getting my point? That's just the way it works. So I want us to declare, said, I have set the Lord always before me. Declare that. I have set his word always before me. I have set his precepts always before me. I have set his ways always before me. Therefore, I shall not be moved. It's very simple. Begin to declare it. In fact, just open your Bible to that and begin to use it. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. That's Psalm 16, verse 8. Therefore, he said, because he's at my right hand, therefore I shall not be moved. He said, the Lord will show me the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I want you to declare it loud. He said, the Lord is set before me at all times. Therefore, I will not be moved. I want you to declare, say, Lord, I have set you before me at all times. Therefore, I will not be moved. Say, Lord, I will not be moved. Declare it, say, Lord, I will not be moved. No matter what life, listen to me carefully as I'm talking, please, that no matter what life is throwing at me, I declare that I will not be moved. Because I have set you before me at all times. Therefore, I will not be moved. Declare, say, Lord, you are constantly before me. I have fixed my eyes, all right? What you do is, see, when you speak, you are giving commandments to your body. Say, Lord, I have set the Lord before me, therefore I will not be moved. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. Declare it. I will not want. If you read in Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells in the shelter or the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please just pause. Let me read. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Psalm 91. It says, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, how do you dwell? Is it that God has a house? Sometimes people, Christians, we confuse, you know, Old Testament philosophies and theology with New Testament. There is no house of God. You can't go and hide. I've seen people do it before. Because they have problems, they go and sleep in church. It's modern day Judaism and a form of idolatry. Do you get my point? You cannot put a Bible under your head and it will drive away witches. It does not work. Are you getting my point? He said, he who dwells, all right, in that innermost place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What it means is this: when a man consciously enters into a secret place with God, then he will discover the influence, the power, the covering of God in his life. So how do you do that? It's very simple, verse 2. Look at it. He said, I will say of the Lord. I like the way King James says it there. I will say of the Lord, or I will say to the Lord, whichever version you are using, both of them are appropriate here. My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's how a man dwells, is what he says, is how he relates with life. There are those who are afraid. In fact, we're going to handle that. People have different fears. Let's quickly talk about it again. I've given examples before. Some people, they are afraid that they will die early. You know it happens. There are those who go around, they just say, one day man will just die like that. There are those who are afraid of poverty. That is, they think about it, it literally scares them. Therefore, they say of America, you are my refuge. Because refuge, fortress, it means this is where I hide, this is where I'm protected. You know, if somebody's a refugee, he has run away from trouble to go and hide somewhere else. That's when you see somebody is a refugee. So when he says refuge, he's going to hide. Fortress means that's where I'm protected. So I have a wall around me. So a man says, if I don't get mother visa, I can never make money. What he's saying, listen, everything you do in life is saying something. Are you getting my point? So what he's saying is, I will say of United States, my refuge and my fortress, the source of my prosperity. That's called the arm of flesh. Amen? And it has been commanded by God, it must fail. Arm of flesh does not try to fail. It is a commandment of God that it must what? Fail. Are you getting my point? Some say, I will marry a very rich man. And some men actually say, I will marry a rich woman. There are all kinds of foolish human beings on this earth. It's even reasonable for a woman to say, I will marry a rich man. When you now see a man say, I will marry a rich woman, just carry his face and slap it for him. That is, he is saying of the wife or the husband wants to marry, my refuge, my fortress, my wife or my husband in whom I trust. He said, cursed is the man that trusts in what? Flesh, on humans. It makes the arm of flesh his strength. Let's do something. Whatever the fear is in your life, just bow down your head. There's nothing wrong with having a fear. I've said before, it is a second round phenomenon. What do we now do as a result of that? That's where iniquity is. If because I'm afraid of something, I run to God, then there's no problem. Meditate for a while. Say, what is it really in this life? Now, God has a name concerning it. Like the name El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, which we are all familiar with. God is provider. Is a name of God. The God that delights in the prosperity of his servant. I will say of that God, you are my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I trust in you for protection from all these problems. There are armed robberies, there are things like that all around. What do we say of God? He's a God of hosts whose army encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. Now begin to call the name of the Lord. Don't be quiet. This I want to just declare. Say, Lord, you are my fortress, my refuge. You are the source of my defense. You are my prosperity. That is how you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We are fighting fear with the word of God. He said, behold, I cause prosperity, listen, saints of God, to flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So you know there is not any country that is your defense against poverty. It is God. He said, he lifts up one while he brings down another. He said, promotion does not come from the east or the west. So we reject every other idol. Then we say of the Lord. There are those who are saying of people they know. My fortress, that is, the people will help. But let us say tonight that he is my God, my fortress, my refuge. He said, in whom I trust, declare it. Say, Lord, it is in you that I trust. I do not trust in my certificate. I do not trust in my connection. The Bible says, if you say like this, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen to this. I was saying earlier that some people are afraid of they will die early. There is a word Jesus spoke. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, whoever believes in me, even though he dies, he shall live again. And Martha thought he was talking about, you know, last days, resurrection of everybody. Like Paul said, both the just and the unjust. No. He said, If any, he said, your brother shall live again. And he went and he called Lazarus. It tells you about the character of God. He said, whoever believes in him has passed from death and has passed into life. I want you to declare again. Say, I have believed in the Lord Jesus. He said, therefore I have passed from death into life. Now I begin to call him names, you know. That God is the source of my life, the source of my long life. See, I will not die, but I will live. Because the spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is dwelling in me. Say, because I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though I die, I shall live again. Say, I will not die, but I will live. Say, the life of Christ Jesus is in me. According to the word of God, even though you were to die, Lazarus died, and Jesus said, because he believed in me, he has to live again. Speak to premature death. Listen, there is a spirit called premature death. Speak to that spirit. Say, hear ye the word of the Lord. Jesus is the light, is the life, and is the resurrection. I have taken of his light. His life is in me. The resurrection power of Christ is in me. Therefore, I will not die. Declare it, say, I will not die, but I shall live. Say, the bullets that fly by day, they can't gun me down. Because my life is hid with Christ in God. Say simply, my God is mighty. It's mightier than death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Speak against sickness. Speak against poverty. Speak against fear. Hallelujah. Listen to this. We say we are praying against fear. We are tackling the things that make the heart of men fear. Now, there is a spirit called fear itself. It comes in different ways. Sometimes the devil ministers. A man is just afraid. That is, everywhere he goes, he's just afraid. Actually, what's happening that is an evil spirit is going around scaring him. It's called the spirit of fear. Alright? Whatever it is, I want us to declare. Like Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I'll read it out to you. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I believe why he emphasized the issue of sound mind is that, you see, what fear tries to do is to disturb people's mind. No, we've been saying it. If your mind is not settled, if God were to show you the way that enter through here like this, you enter into long life and prosperity, you will go the other way. Are you getting my point? So what do we do? Let's declare. It's simple. Because your words, this is how it works. You know, we talked about the power of resonance before. If God is speaking in the heavens are hearing. But the earth seems to be deaf until we repeat what he says in heaven. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth, he has given the authority thereof to you and me. Are you getting the point? Therefore declare, say, God has not given me the spirit of fear. It's very simple. I have the spirit of power. I have the spirit of love. And I have a sound mind. Say it again. God has not given me the spirit of fear. Say, fear is not my portion. I reject fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I have the power of God working with me. I have the power of God working with me. I have a sound mind. My mind is sound. My mind is sound. My mind is sound. My mind is sound. Listen, can you just pause for a moment? Amen. Praise the Lord. Please just pause for a moment, all right? Now, this just came to my mind. You know, because I'm a university lecturer, all right, maybe, and I teach students, you know, I believe a lot of students have problems. The problem is not that they are not inherently intelligent, but because they have come to believe for whatever reason that they are not. You will tell, it starts very early in life. Maybe a child has a bad teacher or the parents are not skilled. You know what I mean? Skilled. Now, you're not true. They don't understand children. So they start saying, you don't know anything. Then the child grows up believing he doesn't know anything. But then he gets to secondary school. Once they say DY, DX, he mentions, he said, that's for John and this person and Matthew. He said, they are the ones that know those ones. Me, I don't know those, such things. I've seen people take pride in ignorance. They tell themselves, I don't know it. And they are happy, you know. They now go and look for companions like themselves who don't know anything too. So they go laugh. Anytime I have to speak to students, I always fight that thing. I always do. As a student, what you will do, you look at the book. Let me tell you the truth. Book has ears. Apart from this, your normal ears, your brain has ears. He hears things, you tell it. Listen, maybe there's natural intelligence. There may be. But I told you, once it comes to Christianity, natural things, they passed away. Ah. So whether you are naturally intelligent or not, if you speak to your book and speak to your head, it has no choice but to conform. So I don't want people arguing with me. Okay, you don't know my case. You are right. I don't know your case. But I know the word of God. And I know, except you are a sinner, and sin is not that you committed one sin yesterday, that is, you are disagreeing with the word of God when it's coming. For that is iniquity. Those who die are those who challenge the prophet. No, go and read the Bible. Hey, the word of God, tomorrow, economy will be like this. Can God do that one, even if we're to open the doors of heaven? The prophet said, no problem. That word just killed you. What am I saying? When the word of God is coming forth, and you are agreeing with it, you are not a sinner. Are you getting my point? Therefore, no matter what your natural case is like, your body, your brain, your physical book has no choice but to respond to the word of God. Are you getting my point? So we have not left that verse. We have not left it. But I just want to lay emphasis for those who are studying, either undergraduate, secondary school, postgraduate, one study or the other. You have to take charge of that thing called book, paper. Learning that's written inside it. And your brain, you must instruct it. Especially as we go back to these confessions, focus on that if you're in that kind of category. Even if you think you know book, that's not your problem. Now we must use the word of God to know book. Daniel was not naturally intelligent. He became intelligent because of obedience to the word of God. Let nobody reason Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Mishael, Azariah, although they are Jewish names. Let nobody give any natural explanation for it. What happened was that they decided they wanted to obey God. Therefore, God gave them understanding. Let me ask you a question. Can a man make up his mind to interpret dreams? No. So how did Daniel get to interpreting dreams? It tells you their intelligence was a gift of God. Because the Bible now says that God now singled out Daniel. Go and read that version, that portion. I don't want to open to it now. God now singled out Daniel and added to him the ability to interpret dreams. All of them he gave intelligence. And listen, it is not that, you are good in science, me, I'm good in arts. The Bible says every branch of learning. So that one of you are naturally good in science, I'm naturally good in arts. All things are what? Passed away. I'm good in anything I want to be good in. If I want to be DJ, I go good. Nothing natural. If I want to be a nuclear physicist, I go good. Why? Because God gave that spirit to Daniel, to Azariah, to Mishael. What's the name of the fourth guy in Hebrew? Anyway, the first fellow. All right, the Lord is good. I feel like not calling them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like that Azariah, Mishael, and the other fellow. God gave them that understanding. That's what the Bible calls a sound mind. That's what the Bible calls what? a sound mind. Now let's get back to that scripture. Begin to declare. Say, I do not have the spirit of failure. I am not afraid of failure. I don't have the spirit of fear. I have a sound mind. I have the spirit of power. Ideas come to me naturally. Poverty is not my portion. I have ideas from heaven to tackle poverty. God gave ideas to Joseph. Joseph tackled poverty for a whole nation and nations beyond their borders. So therefore, I am not a failure. Therefore, I don't rejoice in failure. And see, I am not afraid of what tomorrow holds. I'm afraid only of God. I know who holds the future. The Bible says, let the Lord alone be your fear. Let him alone be your dread. Be afraid to offend him. Be afraid to walk against his word. Be afraid to displease him. Be afraid of drinking the spirit of the world. No, that's all you need to be afraid of. But as for tomorrow, you are not afraid. Say, I do not have the spirit of fear. I have the spirit of power. God has given to me the spirit of power. He has given me the spirit of love. And he has given me that spirit that produces a sound mind. I am intelligent. You must fight with the word of God. Every suggestion that the world or the devil tries to pass to you that is contrary to the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. Listen, I think. Listen to this. You know, we're talking about fear. I just can't leave this exam student thing alone. I've noticed that if you enter, look, with confidence, real godly confidence, do an exam. The exam go hard to tackle you, to bring you down. It needs to work extra hard. So what the devil does all the time is to try and tell students that you know you are not good. Now, a lot of students, they knew, you know what I mean? They believed it very strongly. Before the semester started, they don't make up their mind. Say, it go rough. Listen. These days when I meditate, and I understand more and more every day what God is trying to do in the lives of people. It's not just about working miracle. He wants to change the way they think. Problem never come with the man knows he don't fail. I told you the story of one of our brothers. He used to be here, but he has left town now. When he wanted to apply for a post as a house officer, when he was graduating from College of Medicine, they say apply here. He said, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody. Not the same day. I don't know anybody at all. So he refused to apply. But guess what? That year they took everybody that applied because they needed 20 people. No, they needed like 60. Only 44 applied. So without looking, they just first employed all the 44. The only person who was not taken was the people were the people, or people like him. The only people that were not taken were those who refused to apply because they felt they did not know anybody. So they failed even when life didn't want to fail them. That's what fear does to people. Are you getting my point? Listen, you must declare it again. As a child of God, I am not a failure. That is, put your hand for pocket when you are going to class. Wait, no be book. When you get there, say, I want to do more arithmetic today. I want to count heads. Any lecturer that has two heads, I will not know his subject. Abi, it's simple. So any lecturer that can come with two heads, then he's allowed to have a course that's difficult. So go to class and start counting heads. When once Dr. Osanso shows up, how many heads with that? One. Forget it's a simple course. I remember very well. Listen, one of my classmates, when we were in primary school, we were primary school and secondary school. We did physics one term, we didn't pass. We did physics another term, we did not pass. So third term, He came and told me that he's not doing it again. Why? He said, let's be honest with ourselves. First time we did not pass. Second time we didn't pass. So I went and told one of my other friends, one classmate. I said, Yemisi Oluwade, that's his name. I said, oh boy, this guy says he's dropping physics, oh, because he didn't pass. I can never forget. We're being taught by a Ghanaian. He said, our teacher, does he have two heads? It was like revelation to me. I said, it's true. The man has one head. Yes. So I went and told my friend, I said, you're on your own. You know, from then on, it was like a test. Till WASC, we never failed again. It wasn't as if it was difficult. Maybe the teacher didn't use a good method or the one he started with. After that, everything became easy. Passed third term, next term, passed first, second, third, and entered WASC, had A in physics, we just kept on passing. That, my friend, is a very smart human being. But he just told himself, it is hard. That's what fear does to people. Listen, if you say it's hard, it concretizes and becomes rock hard. The people said this Egyptian, giants, we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. And we have discovered that they think so, we also think so. You know, David was focused on something else. He didn't even know that lions were dangerous. That's how life is. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, if you face life thinking things are hard, they become hard for you. You start seeing the difficult ones. God said, because you say you shall flee, therefore I will give you cause to run. He said, because you say you will run on swift horses, he said, therefore those who will pursue you shall be swift. Are you getting my point? Let's go back. We have not left that scripture. Especially if you're studying. You have a project you're doing. You know, either postgraduate, anything. Life must never tell you something is hard. Declare it again. The Spirit of Christ is in me and has given me a sound mind. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's no field of human learning that the Spirit in me cannot decode. Put a hand upon your head and speak to your brain. Say, receive the Spirit of excellence in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, God has given to you a sound mind. God has given to you. Speak. You know, David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He can speak to himself. Speak to your brain. Say, hear, oh ye Banky's brain. In the name of Jesus, you are able to remember things. In the name of Jesus, you have understanding. In the name of Jesus, you can decode difficult things. In the name of Jesus, there's no area of learning that is hard for you. In the name of Jesus, you have the Spirit of excellence. In the name of Jesus, you have a sound mind. Declare that I'm not a failure. Say, fellow, you can't scare me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Failure, you cannot scare me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Lord is good. Let's end with one thing. Actually, we started from there. I want us to end with it. At the time, Jesus came and said, whatever you can ask, you shall ask the Father in my name. You know, I was listening once, and the pastor preaching was saying, explaining something. I never forgot that thing. I never heard it like that until that day. That was about 2 years ago. I heard it. What he said in effect is that, listen, that Jesus didn't give that commandment or that word so people can pray for simple things. I don't know what I heard what I said. The way he illustrated is this. Assuming that good Lord Jonathan, all right, is about to leave office as president, he now calls you as his bosom friend. Say, I'm about to leave office. What would you like me to do for you? You know, you will be stupid to say, okay, you know, say, campus hurts more. What if you find boys like 50K to take rough and through school? The man will look like, did you hear what I said? I am the president. I'm telling you, I have another 2 weeks, 1 month before I stop being president. What do you want me to do for you? It cannot be, if it was money, he wouldn't call you to his office to discuss such matters. You don't need the power of a president for such things. You stand on the road, you beg enough. That is short while, you make 50K. Not be hard thing with that. You get my point? If a president doesn't have 50K there to give you, he has to call somebody to please help you give you money if necessary. Are you getting what I'm saying? What do you ask presidents to do? I remember when Bill Clinton was leaving office. When we were criticizing him for it, the last thing he did was to grant presidential pardons to his friends. Only a president could do that. He wiped away their criminal records. All those who are his friends that served him, he said, okay, you can vex if you want, but he has done it. He has declared this man forever not guilty. That's what presidents do. You get my point? Those are the things that billionaires can't do. Bill Gates may be the richest man in the world. He can't pardon anybody. No matter how poor an American president or any president, he says, forget it, you are pardoned, even if you're on death row. There was one governor in the U.S. about 7 years ago who did that. The day he was going to leave office, he pardoned everybody on death row. I'm not joking, no. What I'm telling you is not a joke. I watched it live on TV. Everybody on death row, the man granted them pardon. You know what it means? Today, they are saying the day they will hang you or give you a lethal injection. The next day, you were home free. He had his reasons. He gave a long speech and then granted pardon to everybody on death row in his state. I can't remember the state, whether Arizona was, I'm not sure. What am I saying? So when Jesus said, whatever you are asking my name, you know what it means? Ask for difficult things. All these small, small things that your father can do, your friends can do, Pastor Baki can do. All those things that if you know enough people, they will help you. I beg that you don't embarrass me with that kind of request. Ask for things that if I don't do, nobody will do. That's why, listen, when people are saying that, house, I tell my wife knows. When I'm watching telly, they say, this house is fine. I say, yes, it's $18 million. That's your problem. I'm not good. The $18 million doesn't concern me. If I like it, I ask for it. That I will not live in it, it's only if Jesus comes too early. And in which case, he will grant it an hour before he comes so that at least let him quickly answer the prayer before he arrives. I'm telling you. You're a businessman. Stop thinking like an African. You know, Africans, once they have made some money, they can buy two cars, build one house in the village, one in the city. They think they are rich. You ask yourself, okay, Dell is a man's name. See this computer? It's not an angel's name. It's not Gabriel. This is not Michael. It's an American. The full name is Michael Dell. When you see Hewlett Packard, it's two men. One is Hewlett, the other one is Packard. It's human names. See Mercedes-Benz. Two men founded a company. One is called Daimler, the other is called Benz. They needed money. So they went and met a man. The man said, name the car after my daughter. So the car became Mercedes. Mercedes is a female name. These are human names. Are you getting my point? As a businessman, when you want to pray, that's how you think. I like one thing the man who founded Deal With Them said. He said all he wanted in life, that as he was building companies, building ships, you know all these things about Deal. He said what he just wants is that he would design a product. You know, when you want a pen, you just say, can I have a Bic there? You know that kind of thing. Give me a Bic. Bic is a man's name. Some don't know. Think it's the name of an instrument of writing. It's a man's name. A man who decided to make writing, the man who invented the ballpoint pen, his name is called Biro. The man who made it cheap for everybody to use is called Bic. The man said he wants something that once you mention, his product will come to mind. You get my point? Like when they tell you now DHL something, you don't have to go to DHL. You can go to FedEx, UPS, but when you say DHL it, you know what I'm saying? Your mind just say, hey. He said that's all he wants. He's been mal. I don't know whether I finally succeeded in doing that, but it tells how men think. That anywhere in the world you mention it. That's what, like, I was watching something the other day. They say when you instead of saying petroleum jelly, people say Vaseline. Vaseline is not petroleum jelly, it's just one brand. But it's so the main one that once you say, you know, he said that's how people are supposed to think. That's what I'm saying. Sin has made us think in such a small way. Say, God, hey, once I can build a house, I want to be one for my father. And you think you are very generous. One of our senior friends the other day in church, he said when he went to America, they were asking him after this Matalab problem. They said, what do you do? He said, I'm a hotelier. So the people said, like, okay, you own many hotels. How many do you own? They were like, two, both of them, small ones in Enugu here. So the American looked at him like, you get away, how can you call yourself a hotelier by owning two hotels? That man, in his mind, what he was thinking of Hyatt, that have thousands of hotels all over the world. What he was thinking of was Sheraton. What he was thinking of was Hilton. But Africans don't realize you can think like that. Listen, before we close, are you getting what I'm saying? I want you to pray again. I've led this prayer here at least 3 times. This will be like at least the 3rd time. You bow your heads and say, Lord. Don't be in a hurry. If you can't pray it now, don't worry. Do it at home. But I want you to begin to bow your heads, begin to meditate. Some have thought about it before now. Some just think about it. You are going to make a request. I didn't say for Enugu State or for Nigeria. For you. You know, Jabez prayed, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Not bless the nation, bless me. You make my name great. God looked at Abraham and said, I will bless you. You will be a blessing. People will start blessing their people by the name of your God. So you think, say, God, what? Now ask yourself, what do I want God to do for me in this life? And listen to me, it must not be based upon where you came from. Say, Lord, you know I have only an OND. And my father didn't leave any inheritance for us before he died that time. So just open for me a big mechanic workshop in Enugu. That's a very stupid prayer. That's not what I mean. Not prayers dictated by where you're coming from. I want prayers dictated by the desire that your heart is incubating ever since you gave your life to Christ. You began to walk with God. There are things that you just say, oh, you just start wishing, I wish. Hey, that's what I'm saying. I'm a musician. Lord, you will make, I want to sell 10 million albums all over the world. That kind of thing. Things that you know that God has to do. No human beings can't do it. You're a preacher. Lord, I want to preach all over the world. I want the messages I'm preaching to fill every continent. That's the kind of prayer me, I bring. Now I'm a preacher. So now my prayer, they, now that angle, they go. You're a business person. Say, why am I always flying other people's airlines? Lord, from this country, I want to have an international airline. From here, we'll go down to Johannesburg, fly down to Singapore, fly straight about to at least not too many American states, just Houston, New York, and, you know, Los Angeles. You know, then we'll fly to Europe. One man started Virgin Atlantic. Not two men, you know what I'm saying? It was one man's idea, which is stumbled on by mistake. Ask for something that only God can do. If you have your own way of doing it, that's not the prayer point we're talking about. The Bible says is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that you can ask or think about. So whatever you can think about this evening is already too small for God to do. He just wants you to enlarge your coast so he can start working with you somewhere. At times, the Lord build me a house. God, if it's a house, that's not a problem. What's wrong with me building you estate so you too can be a big estate man? Creating homes for people, making life easy for other people coming after you. You've heard the name like Donald Trump. No, be spirit, not human being. Why make a specific request like that this evening? Father, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you have promised, in the words of Jesus, that if we shall ask in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will grant it. Therefore, Lord, grant this request of our hearts, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Before we depart, let's begin to prophesy good upon this nation again. Say, Lord, violence, we command you. You come to an end now in the name of Jesus. Say, let everyone who will perpetrate violence, let them be the ones to be destroyed now. Before the incubations of their hearts begin to manifest, let destruction come upon them. Lord, let their paths, their crooked paths, be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for security in this land. All doers of violence, we command their spirits to be expelled out of this country in the name of Jesus. We command peace upon this land. We command peace upon this state. We command peace within our walls. We command prosperity within our walls in the name of Jesus Christ. Every doer of iniquity, every kidnapper, every armed robber, we command them to be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. We command them to be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. Declare that in peace we will lie down and we sleep, for the Lord alone makes us to dwell in safety. In the name of Jesus, safety is our portion. Safety is our portion. On the road, safety is our portion. In our homes, safety is our portion. Lord, let your angels, your 12 legions of angels, let them encamp around us and deliver us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Hey, one more prayer point before we go. Men are gathering. Listen. I was discussing with somebody yesterday in my house. I said, men are very wicked. If you don't know, let me tell you now. Somebody was telling me that men gather. Remember 090? They gathered and decided. I was hearing that yesterday. That it should only be for rich people. That was why it was that costly in this country. You saw what happened to GSM. Were it not that God broke the hands of wicked men, they would have issued out 2 licenses that would have been bought by the same people, divided into 2. Then they would just decide that 1 SIM card is 50K. And people will see till today. But God said no. You see why power is not working in Nigeria? One day, President Obasanjo was saying that we're able to generate these 6 megawatts. So, was it 6 that time, or we had reached 4? One low amount was telling people you can come and invest in Nigeria. And one American was there, he was trying to understand. You said it's a nation of 140 million people, 6 megawatts. Is it for a street in Manhattan we are talking about here? No, it's not that you are generating 4 megawatts, but you are bragging about it. What are you talking about? That cannot power one tiny segment. The island, Manhattan, that can't carry them. So he couldn't get the point that, what are you talking about? I should come and invest because we generated 4 megawatts. My backyard generator at home. My issue, it doesn't generate that. You think it is hard? We have natural gas. We have coal. We have petroleum. We have everything. Should I tell you why we don't have power? I'll give you one simple sentence. Men are wicked. My problem is that you see people, you'll be amazed. You see all this campaign, zoning, no zoning. If you know, nobody amongst those noisemakers is thinking of how to ensure that rail system works in Nigeria. They are not thinking about how the road between Benin and Lagos will not be a death trap all the time, and people will be traveling this short distance in 12 hours. They ain't thinking about it. They're not thinking about how to generate power so that we'll have at least 50 megawatts in this country. They're not thinking about it. They're not thinking about how to make sure that we don't have to fly abroad for simple health care. They're not thinking about it. And the wicked soul that God will punish. Right now, as I'm talking to you, they are scheming. They will meet in Saudi Arabia, meet in Abuja, meet everywhere. Not just because they want to eat money, but because they want to hold men in bondage. Listen, I'm not joking about it. These men are satanic. These men are satanic. Now every wicked man that's gathering, God scatter and punish them. That's my prayer point. As they gather now, Lord, wherever they are, send lightning. Frustrate their plans, sir.
Use your own words.
Lord, uproot them. Men who only all they are thinking about is how to prosper themselves. God, we're asking of you, scatter their mist. Hey, listen, I have a word that you can use to pray. Listen to this. Say it like this. Say, God, make their congregation like that of Babel. Turn their hearts against one another. May they not understand what they are saying to each other. Cause them to quarrel. Turn the heart of a brother against his brother. Men who are in covenant, break their covenants, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God said, your covenant with them shall be broken. Lord, the covenant they have with each other to hold the whole nation in bondage. Lord, let them break the covenant by themselves, that you might judge them for breaking covenants. In the name of Jesus Christ, let their arrangements not prosper. In the name of Jesus. Lord, let the word of your servant Tunebakare be fulfilled in this season. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, let us close. Let's go home. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. Just by the way, please, if you are a child of God, don't ever desire political power for the reason that you think you will be made. That is, if I enter now, me too, I will be made. If you do, just for thinking those thoughts, God is joining you to those he wants to deal with. Because you are his child, he may use a very strong koboko, but your back will be peeled. Do you get my point? So be careful. As you are thinking thoughts in life, think thoughts of good. Whatsoever things are good, are honest, are just, things are of good report. Things you can say publicly. Listen, this is my desire for this nation. That is the kind of things you should be thinking of. Listen, don't join the thoughts of wicked people. Politics is not the way to make money. If you make money by that, it will destroy you. Politics, power is for the doing of good. God looked at Solomon and said, ask for anything. Solomon had all the power. He only asked for the ability to do good. And God made him so rich. No king has ever come up as rich as that since that time. Think good thoughts and God will bless you. It's very important. Don't forget that as a child of God, as you are thinking, as you are planning, those things must be your thoughts. Father, we give you thanks. Because indeed you have been with us. And Lord, you are going to do so, you are doing something in this country. Lord, you are transforming this nation. Lord, the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit that fights Christianity, the spirit that fights truth and righteousness, we burn it and drive it back into Sahara Desert. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone near the sea, let it go to the center of the Atlantic. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace upon this land. We declare it so. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And cause the rest of this week to bring progress and prosperity your way. Amen. It is well with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And God's presence, his shadow, shall be with you at all times.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.